The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Are we hot?
Oh, I'm hot.
Very hot.
So it's uncomfortable sometimes when Doug says stuff like that.
It is.
So, God, sad. I'm a little bit sad.
Why are you sad?
Adam's
Sal?
Not here.
Yeah.
Adam's not here.
Why be sad about that? I mean, you can talk a lot more now.
Well, sometimes, you know, when I get nervous and he holds my hand.
Yeah.
It makes me feel, you know, comfortable. Well,
yeah. You guys have this like love seat here
together.
That you sit together. And that's when I see you at your best.
I'm sad, but I'm also a little excited because Doug is going to be on the episode with us today. What's up, Douglas?
Hey, how you guys doing?
He'll be limited to answering questions, and we'll cut him off.
When he starts talking.
We'll just cut him off.
Totally.
I get to say two
words. No, you know what I was trying to say.
Got him in.
Hey. Okay, anyway, so what were we talking about?
So basically, dude, so yesterday, you guys see my squat workout, what I did?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm pretty motivated right now to get my legs to grow.
We've noticed that
more. Yeah, because
you're out 100% to destroy all that Schaefer is standing for. Is
the
mantra going on in
your
head?
He's a hard worker. He's been training hard. I was at Gold's, and we just happened to show up at the same time, which is always kind of awkward. You know, you run into someone, you kind of want to see him, but you kind of don't because I don't want him to see my secret training technique. So I'm watching him work out, and the dude was squatting for like 45 minutes. All he did was squat. Yeah. And he was doing good squats.
Yeah.
And he's getting stronger. So I'm like, all right, it's time.
I could see you just walking by and like thinking like, sabotage.
Dude, I totally, so while he was squatting, I was doing all kinds of funny things. I was making fart noises.
Oh, yeah.
I poked him in the butt a little bit, you know, but he stays focused.
But he likes that anyway.
He stayed super focused.
Yeah, it's not out of his norm.
It might have squeezed out an extra rep or two when he did that.
Okay.
But so yesterday, so what I've been doing is I've been incorporating inclusion.
You know what next time you should do? You just get right behind him and start spotting him, even though he didn't want to be spotted.
just random spot.
Just hug him.
Just give him the hug spot.
Down. Down.
Use the third hook.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Sink the hooks in.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're locked in.
Doug remembers that when I used to train. I remember Doug when I used to.
Yes, I couldn't wait for squat day.
Wow. Yes. Doug was always like, Sal, this is weird. I don't think I'm supposed to. Yeah,
you guys have a very intimate relationship.
And I would always be like, shut up, Doug. I'm the professional. Yeah. You hired me, right? Do it.
That's right. Why do I always have to wear one of these unitards?
Yeah, it was like a weird.
It's got a hole in it.
It was like a weird like Charles Manson kind of relationship. Like he just kind of I broke him down and then built him back up.
Built him back up, made him feel like powerful again, and then depowered.
Tear him right down again. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
gotcha.
By the way, personal trainers listening, it's a great technique. Gets your clients great results.
Yes.
So I've been doing occlusion, and then yesterday what I did that I totally forgot about, I haven't done for, I don't know, a couple months. But again, I saw Adam squatting, and my goal basically is this. Like, it's, you know, let's say a scale of 0 to 10 in terms of how crazy your legs look, right? 0 means you have shitty legs. 10 is like, fuck, your legs look crazy, right? I need to stay at least 5 points ahead of Adam. So he's moving up now.
So what do you think Adam's at right now? Oh, he's at a 4?
No, he's doing.
I think he's gonna argue.
No, he's doing good.
Come on,
he's doing good. So I was motivated. So I used some variable resistance yesterday.
Yes, variable resistance. This is a great topic. I think that we should kind of dive into.
Dude, we need to.
You know, I do not think that we've even touched on this before.
No, and it's good because I don't see a lot of bodybuilders and physique competitors do this.
No, why would they? Because all they want to do is just, you know, rep everything out and wear belts and, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, you know, wear wrist straps and, you know, squeams and stuff. But I will predict right now that you will start to see in the next 5 years, you're going to start to see more and more stage presentation athletes utilizing these techniques because not only do they make you stronger, they build more muscle.
Right.
And anything that builds more muscle eventually will get adopted by people who need to build.
Well, it's because now you can break it down into more incremental versions of force, right? Mm-hmm. Or load. And it helps you to kind of transition a lot of times into the next, you know, platform of strength. And so, you know, as you grow, well, as you get stronger, you grow, mm-hmm. right? And so your body's adapting to that new standard. And to make it into that new standard, this is a great tool in your toolbox to use to sort of segue. So if you think of it more like, well, what are your other options otherwise, right? Is to just add little bits of more weight, and you have these little, you know, 5-pounders, or sometimes, you know, you see these little tiny, like almost
like the magnet weights or whatever.
Magnet, like yeah. little tiny discs, you know, to kind of like gradually increase the load. And there's other elements, like it's, let's say, variable resistance. We're talking about bands.
Yeah, let's start with bands.
Yeah. Okay. So now you used it basically over the rack, right, to help assist.
Right.
As far as you getting depth and now assisting in the lift.
Right.
So you could add more load onto the bar so you could get you could feel a heavier load on your back.
Well, so so here's how it kind of breaks down. So when people hear bands, I'm not using the band by itself.
Right.
But here's what a band does that weights don't do. When I'm doing a squat with, you know, weight on my back, that weight stays the same from the bottom to the top. My strength isn't the same, though, from the bottom to the top. My strength is weakest at the bottom
right.
and strongest at the top. This is why you see a lot of morons in the gym going down 4 inches in their squat.
This is your strength curve.
That's their strength curve. And they don't want to go down low because, as anybody who squats knows, you go down low, you're weaker at the bottom.
Right.
So the awesome thing about a band is a band is not the same resistance all the way through. The harder you stretch a band, or the further you stretch a band, the harder it pulls.
Yeah, the more elastic energy you're promoting that's right. going to help assist basically lifting the weight back on the way back up.
Yes. So what I did was I personally worked up to some heavy singles. So I had 445 pounds on the bar. And what I did is I got the band, I attached it to both sides of the bar. So one end on one side, one end to the other side, but I swung it over the top of the squat rack
so that
it's pulling up on the weight. Now what happens when I unrack the weight and I come back and I squat down at the top of the weight, at the top where I'm standing, it's pulling, you know, I'm just going to throw out numbers. It's pulling, let's say, 20 pounds. So at the top, I'm holding 425. But then as I squat down into the hole, it might pull as much as 70 pounds or 50 pounds. So it's giving me more help where I need it,
right.
But it's making making the weight heavier where I'm stronger. So what happens is you're able to train, you're able to push and max yourself out or get close to it within your natural strength curve.
Right.
And this, the adaptation you get from it's fucking awesome. I mean,
yeah, it's great.
When you're stuck in a plateau, utilizing a technique like this is a great way to bust past it. And I mean, the feel is amazing. I get down to that low part of the squat.
Because it's natural.
It feels great.
Yeah, it's because, well, and that too, and it helps to alleviate a lot of stress on the joints.
Yes.
You know, so that's the one thing, like, you notice right away, like, that amount of weight, it really stresses you out, and it applies all that force has to go somewhere. And so, like, when you're in a compromised position, let's say the bottom of your squat, you know, that force gets alleviated somewhat when you put that rubber band over there to help give you that elastic energy to come up out of the squat. So really, it's just a great transitional technique then to now you can sort of gradually add more weight. Your body's getting accustomed to more weight in the stronger points of your lift, which, you know, naturally you can sort of, you know, promote that progression after you train that way.
Yeah, and I've used, I don't know, Doug, did we ever do any type of variable? I think I had to use chains.
Yeah, we use chains, we use bands for squats,
you did use
bench,
the bands.
And for deadlifts. And deadlifts, to me, were particularly interesting.
Well, why was it interesting?
Because it really required you to get back.
Oh, because I attached them at a different angle. That's a good point. And by the way, Doug, if you have any questions on what we're talking about, because you know quite a bit, but sometimes after the episodes you ask us questions, you can ask them here. Because I think your questions are, because you've been a part of this for so long, you're going to have some good questions that we might not even think of. But yeah, so the other good thing with bands is that you can attach them at different angles. So what Doug was talking about with a deadlift is when you're pulling up the weight of a deadlift, you're kind of you're pulling it up, but you're also trying to pull it back, right? Mm-hmm. You want to keep the weight close to your body. Well, one thing you could do is you could use a lighter weight, attach bands away from you so that when you're pulling up, the band is pulling, trying to pull the bar, not just pull the bar down, but pull the bar away from your body. So you're having to really kind of pull back and lean back.
Yeah, you're training your body to promote that, you know, lifting process.
Yes.
You know, and so that's one way to so if you break it down in terms of each one of those components of the lift, right? So there's ways that you can enhance maybe weak points. So
exactly.
If that's something that, you know, will benefit your lift and the bar's getting away from you or whatever, like obviously that's going to be a great technique to, you know, emphasize. And so that's why, you know, if you're stuck in a rut or, you know, you really want to enhance like what you already have going on, like you really have to break down the lift and have somebody give you the proper cues of like what they see your body doing in the lift, you know, where those weak points are. So if you want to go over maybe like, so that might be part of the first process is part of the pull off the ground, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, the next part, you know, we're looking, you know, at the knees, we're looking at the lockout, we're looking, you know, all the way up to the back. So each phase of that, like you can adjust bands accordingly to kind of help structure that, right?
You can. I mean, lockout tends to be the for most people the part where they tend to feel weakest, at least with a conventional deadlift. Mm-hmm. That's where the hands on the outside of legs, you'll feel like your sticking point will be, you know, about 6 inches off
right.
the floor.
Right. So that's where I put like, so some platforms they have like a handle that sticks up,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm able to attach bands over like the outside of the bar,
mm-hmm.
and on both sides, mm-hmm. and so now I'm pulling it straight up, and then that last bit, you know, is I really have to fight to lock
to
it
get
out,
that lockout
to get the lockout. So that's one method I use.
Yeah, bench press is a great one too. I'll get a band and I'll attach the band on either side of the bar and under the bench that I'm using to, you know, that I'm benching from. So when I press it up, it's exponentially more difficult at the top working on the lockout portion. And I'm, you know, because again, for me, for bench press, I'm very strong at the bottom. It's a lockout where I tend to have issues. Yours might be the opposite in which you might attach the bar then in that case to the very top.
Yeah. I was going to say, if I'm putting rubber bands on the top and it's going to help me in the bottom part of the lift for sure. So yeah, you just structure it that way.
And by the way, this is totally backed by science, completely backed by studies. They've done studies on this and they found that people that incorporate this type of variable resistance with traditional resistance training perform better, build more muscle, and are stronger than people who just do the traditional resistance training. This is interesting because when you look at bodybuilding and physique type presentation sports, they borrow a lot from different types of strength sports.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be one of those things I think we're going to start seeing. Chains, we've actually seen some chains being used by bodybuilders. I think part of it is because chains look cool, so they'll do photo shoots.
Yeah.
They'll have these big-ass heavy chains that they're lifting. But part of it is because they work, and a chain is very similar. So
It's similar, but it
feels different.
Yeah, it feels different because here's the thing. Like, so at the bottom, let's talk about the bench, for instance. You want to have an excess of the chain already on the ground,
mm-hmm.
okay? And so what's going on is as you lift, so it's lighter at the bottom.
Right, so to paint the picture, you've got chains hanging off, big heavy chains, 30, 40 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever,
mm-hmm.
hanging off each end of the bar down to the floor. And what Justin is saying is that when you're at the bottom of the bench press, when you bring the bar down to your chest, most of the chain's on the floor.
Right.
So your weight is light.
Right. So it lightens up basically.
And as you
that
push
way,
up.
Yeah, because each link, you know, is going to weigh X amount. And as you go, it's forcing more load on the way up out of your lockout,
mm-hmm.
basically. So then, yeah. So then you're able to get stronger with your lockout, and it helps to kind of lighten it up a bit, so you can put more load on the bar.
Now, Justin, when would you incorporate some of these type of techniques for clients? I mean, you're very performance oriented.
Yeah.
So when would an athlete, you know, utilize this kind of stuff?
Well, after I've established a good strength base, and
so you wouldn't do this with a beginner.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, yeah. And I know that, like you said, it has a sexy component to it.
Yeah.
Just like anything else in this industry. Chains
like, are sexy.
That's just it. Like, there's certain sexy things that people are just like, well, let's do that and, like, focus on this. But if you're really doing it for the performance element that it provides, that comes later. So that's something like where if I'm having an issue with progression, right? So I need to get some kind of new stimulus, some new element in the programming that will help them to catapult into the next level. So this is one of those things that I play with, either with its bands or chains, or, you know, tempo, or like we talk about all those other variables we use, as far as like acute variables in the programming. But this is one of those things that, like, it's great too, because if I'm thinking too about plyometrics, which we'll probably go into later in this podcast, I want to alleviate some of the stress on the joints, but then have the kind of explosive work that I want out of the muscle. And so if I can do that by adding, you know, rubber bands or something like that at a strategic location or anchor point, to alleviate, say, stress in the knees, if I'm doing like a squat jump, you know, that's awesome. Like, that's something now that, I could work on being more explosive and all that. And I can add weight to it, but also, you know, keep it safe on the joint.
Well, actually, here's another way you can use bands from a correctional standpoint. I'll give you a great example. Here's the wrong way to use, you know, a band, or in this particular case, somebody was using a small physio ball, but a really small one, like the size of a soccer ball. Lady was squatting. I saw a trainer actually do this. Lady was squatting and her knees would adduct. What that means is her knees would cave in. Okay, they'd come into each other while the lady was squatting. This is a common muscle imbalance you'll see. So what does this trainer do? He puts a rubber ball between her legs to keep them straight. This is the wrong way to use a tool like that, because she's going to be squeezing
her
against that ball
and
getting
worse.
Her knees
are already adducting.
Yeah,
so, why the fuck do you want her to squeeze and adduct and focus on that?
Because this asshat thought, I'm going to keep her legs straight by placing a ball between her legs.
That keeps them straight instead of...
Right. No.
This promoting the same recruitment pattern.
Idiot, yeah. So the way you would actually fix your knees from traveling into each other while squatting is you don't put something between your legs. You put something around your legs and press out against it as you squat. So this is another way to use bands.
Yep.
If you find your knees doing funny things, look, I have a client. I got a gentleman I've been training for a while now, and we had a really, really big imbalance between the right and left side.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen is once we'd go heavy, as he would go low, his hips would shoot to the right, and his left knee would come out to the left. And it was anytime we'd started to go particularly heavy for him. So what I did is I attached a band around his waist and I attached it to the left side, to the right side of the cage.
Mm-hmm.
And I attached a band around his left knee to the left side of the cage. And so as he squatted, he had to maintain tension on the band with his hips by pulling him out to the left and pulling the knee into the right. And as we did these squats this way, we correct his form, take the bands off, you know, weeks later, and now he can squat.
Right.
Straight.
And the same thing along those lines, but then I would have just work on the corrective strengthening. So I would put the band attached like that, and then we'd work on the abduction.
Of course.
Yeah, right. So you build that strength in order to offset somewhat, you know, to compensate for that. So, but yeah, you know, that's a smart way to do that, and then still have them squat and have good form.
That's what I'm trying to do. I was trying to teach that exercise to his body and his brain.
Right.
Within a particular way. But these are all advanced, you know, somewhat advanced techniques. But, you know, use them. I mean, you're listening to what we're saying here. You know, get those bands out, bring them to the gym.
Well,
the
only a lot of our listeners are pretty much on that status, you know.
Yeah.
They're getting to that point where now, you know, they need something else. They need something to kind of catapult them into the next level. So
I will say, you know, bands and chains have very different feel. Chains are more grinding. They're more, I find chains to be more stressful on the body and bands to be more recuperative on the body when you add them to the bar. So based upon how you feel, if I'm feeling especially strong and I just want to push myself harder, I'll use a chain. If I'm feeling like, I don't know if I feel strong, but I feel like I should probably take a little easier on my joints but I want to kind of overload myself a little bit, then I'll use bands.
Yeah. Well, it's the most natural because like bands are like they emulate that strength curve.
And they're
like,
just smooth.
Yeah. It's the most smooth kind of sensation with that. There hasn't been anything else other than maybe a mechanized version of that. You know, that's an invention that, you know, nobody really has done it in a solid way yet. But that basically, you know, it makes such a difference. Like it's something that like people need to consider for sure. It like bands really help to enhance you and get you to the next level.
Now I got a question for you, Justin, because you know, I know a lot of times when Adam's here, you don't get a lot of
I don't get a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently we're not funny anymore.
Yeah.
When it's just you and me.
Dude, so we went to the
Let's talk about like poop jokes and farts and
dude, we went to some event. We went to some event and I'm not gonna call this person out. I know she's I know she's listening. And she meets us. I think that's the first time she's ever met me and Justin, if I'm not mistaken.
Probably.
Or second. And she comes up to us. I swear to God, it's like the third sentence out of her mouth. She says like a couple things. Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Third sentence out of her mouth. Yeah, the show without Adam was really fucking boring. Like, yeah. This is exactly what she says to us.
Yeah, really boring.
I'm like, oh, well then. We're just going to walk over here, talk to someone else.
I'm going to go get a taco.
So anyway, let's continue on with this boring episode.
Yeah, let's bore everyone to death.
To death.
So, everyone to death. Oof. Everyone to death.
God damn it.
Gonna fucking bore you to death.
Hey, Doug, I want you to send some of these clips of Justin singing to
American Idol.
Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever. Because I think we've got some...
The voice.
We've got something on here.
There you go.
That can make
I'd rather be known for my voice and not my body. You know what I mean?
That's going to be hard, Justin.
It is hard, if you know what I mean.
It's very hard.
So what's... I want to ask you about this because you're a performance guy.
Yep.
So how long do you last in bed? No, I'm just kidding. What is... I want you to explain plyometrics.
Yeah.
We have not talked about plyometrics at all.
We have not talked about plyometrics. We have not really talked about conditioning.
None of the stuff.
This is all irrelevant on our podcast.
It is. And yeah. I'm going to be honest. I am not super well versed in plyometrics.
Okay.
And I don't, I know it sounds like I talk a lot about everything, but I don't. I don't talk about things I don't know a lot about because I don't want to come across as being a blowhard or pompous or. You know, all the things I am.
All those things. Check, check, check.
So, no, tell us about plyometrics. How, first of all, what do they do? What do they benefit?
Okay, so I don't.
How do you use them?
Okay, here's one of my pet peeves. People that do plyometrics primarily for conditioning, which is very popular and sensationalized because of CrossFit and because of all these things because they're hard, right? And so, you know, everybody wants to do burpees. Everybody wants to do these squat jumps and they want to do box jumps and they want to do, and they're using it for conditioning, okay?
What do you mean by conditioning?
And conditioning
to
means...
To build like they're doing them to fatigue.
To fatigue.
Okay.
Just to wear you out.
Yeah.
And that's my issue because
that's not,
I don't
that's
use
not
them
right
for
way
that.
To use them, right?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't use them that way, like at all. I mean, granted, I was guilty of that at some point, you know, just because it's people like that. They like, you know, new exercises and they want to try. They see so and so doing this. But then it was like, no, you know, this is power. Now, power, we're talking about explosive movement and we're talking about ground forces and we're talking about driving into the ground, exploding through, getting like a really fast twitch response.
Mm-hmm.
And that means less time on the ground. And so with plyometrics, that's what we're trying to train for. We're trying to train for this.
Is it safe to say speed of contraction or speed of force?
Right.
Okay. So
speed of
force. It makes perfect sense that doing it to fatigue is literally
is retarded.
Stupid. Yeah, it's stupid. If you try to, because you can't, you're not gonna be able to generate lots of power.
No, it just gets sloppy.
So you just end up doing getting tired.
That's it. You just end up looking like one of those. You know, I'm just gonna hammer CrossFit because I have to. It's like. You know, this is like they've extrapolated all these concepts from athletics and, you know, gymnastics and blah, 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 everything across the
and
board.
And just done them to fatigue.
And just do everything to fatigue.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating.
So let me use another analogy because people might be having trouble understanding this.
Okay.
If you're lifting weights to build muscle and strength, The best way to do it, and I'm going to use a very general explanation. The best way to do it is to do straight sets. I do a set of 10 reps, I rest.
Mm-hmm.
I do a set of 10 reps, I rest. Okay, this is common knowledge now.
Right.
Now, if I do bench press to fatigue, or I'm working my chest to fatigue, then I'm doing bench press, and I'm going straight to push-ups, and I'm going straight to a ball throw.
Right.
And I'm going
You're cutting out your intervals of rest.
Yeah, I'm doing a circuit, and I'm getting really tired, and I'm sweating my ass off, but I'm not going to build lots of strength and muscle.
And why would you want to do that? Mainly to cut fat.
Right. Just burn calories.
Yeah, burn calories.
Right. So, and not even cut fat, because we also know that if you train strategically with resistance training, you'll burn more body fat in the long term by building muscle and getting stronger. So that's an example there. Now, with plyometrics, same thing. If you want to increase your power, your speed of contraction, your power off the ground or whatever, then it needs to be used in a specific way. If you do it to fatigue, then all you're going to get is endurance.
Mm-hmm.
Am I accurate?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly like what you're promoting. So you're promoting,
just getting endurance.
Yeah, endurance, like in muscle endurance in terms of like for some reason, like I guess this is where that whole Metcon thing came from with the CrossFit. It was like their conditioning is more based off of like, you know, muscle
endurance.
Yeah, muscle endurance,
which it's fine if your goal is muscle endurance, but I'll tell you something right now, straight up, there's better ways to get muscle endurance than to do plyometrics to fatigue.
Right.
It's safer ways.
Well, and that's just the thing, is it's here's the thing. Okay, so there's tiers of training, right? You know, there's stability. There's
tiers of training.
Yeah, there's corrective phase. You know, you kind of work through that. You get into strength phase. You get into max strength phase. You work your way up this totem pole up to get to power. Okay, power is at the pinnacle.
Mm.
Power is something that now we're taking what we've built as our foundation, and we're trying to recruit that as quickly as possible and use it.
Like, now, would you say, is it safe to say then that power is really should only be reserved for either really advanced clients or athletes?
Yes.
Otherwise, don't waste your time with it.
Yes. Okay. And this is the difference. This is one of the things I'm highlighting right now as I'm writing this program out in addition to the MAPS program, because mm-hmm. the MAPS provides, you know, everything you need for foundation. It, mm-hmm. it provides the strength. It provides, you know, the periodization, you know, hypertrophy, which hypertrophy is great even for athletes.
For everybody.
You know, it's for anybody. However, you know, there is an element of power and coordination and just that overall recruitment that you need quickly, right? So you have to train the body differently
and
to get that.
And that's very specific to athletes and people who want to perform at that level.
Right. Okay. And the other thing is too, like as you do that, there's more rest period, you know, involved. There's more...
So give me an example of a plyometric. Like I want to use the box, do the box jump.
Yeah.
How would someone use it to build, to increase their power?
So if I'm just going to focus on the actual mechanics and the movement of it, I'm focusing on, you know, one rep at a time. I'm just driving down as hard as I can and exploding my way through it.
Mm-hmm. So you'll do that one big jump.
That one big jump.
And then are you resting and waiting to before you do the next one to perfect it?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I do, you know, to start, right? And mm-hmm. So, really, if I get into variations of that, I could do it would be less of a box jump. It'd be more of like a frog jump, or not a frog jump, but like one of the like explosive squat jumps, like in place. And so what I'm focusing on is just keeping less time on the ground as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm trying to get the response that I need to rebound those forces and power me back up as quickly as possible. So it's the same thing, you know, why somebody is faster than somebody else when they're running is because the amount of steps they took and the amount of time their feet were on the ground was less.
Well, this is important because strength definitely contributes to speed. However, you will find I could get 10 guys that can out squat 10 sprinters and they're not going to come close to how fast they are.
Yep.
So it's really, there's a lot of factors that come into play. But here's a question I have, because we have a lot of listeners who are really primarily interested in, you know, changing the way they look and getting stronger, more of the traditional type stuff. Can plyometrics be utilized do you think to enhance muscle building? And of course, we're talking about people who are advanced.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people could benefit from it. You know, it really intensifies that neuromuscular connection, right?
Very good.
Yeah. So you're just like, you're stimulating that pathway at a very high, you know, rate. And so this is something that, you know, anybody could benefit from that if now you take that into the strength phase and you're going to get that response probably, I'm assuming, a lot quicker. And, you know, the way you get through that, that connection builds, maybe you have, you know, a better recruitment pattern going into it. Now you get stronger and then you kind of build your way back into that response. Now I'm using that strength that I've built at a really accelerated pace.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, slow and fast pace.
Now I do recall reading about how people would use plyometrics as a superset to a strength move. So in other words, they would do, let's say I'm going to do a bench press.
Uh-huh.
I would go 5 jump pushups, you know, not to fatigue, just boom, 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 explode, and then go right to the bench press. And I believe the theory was that you were able to access more muscle fibers and get more of that central nervous system adaptation.
Yeah. You're trying to tap into the central nervous system adaptation. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you're trying to channel that, you know, into your strength lift.
So you would do before the strength lift,
mm-hmm.
not after, again, because then you'd be fatigued, right?
Right.
You would
exactly.
lose all the, okay.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And that's one of the biggest, you know, issues I have is that fatigue, you don't want fatigue as a component into your power exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when we're talking about barbell, you know, Olympic lifts, things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, that was always my big problem.
Oh, like, you don't want to go into that fatigue.
You
that's
don't
such
do,
a bad idea.
No, you do Olympic lifts and fatigue-based programming. It's just you're not just asking for trouble. You're begging for trouble. You're literally like praying to the injury gods and saying,
yeah, you can kind of get away with being fatigued going into strength-based training or hypertrophy, but
sure.
You just cannot do that in power because, I mean, the demand alone to create the movement that you need at that fast of a pace requires everything to work, you know, simultaneously at 100%. And so now if you have fatigue, you're not at 100%.
Right.
So that response is going to be nil, right? What's the point? What are you trying to do?
So this is an interesting. So I'm going to try experimenting a little bit with some plyometric stuff, and so I'll be consulting with you a little bit because I want to see what it does for me in terms of my traditional strength,
mm-hmm.
And in terms of, you know, building any additional, you know, muscle, because I have historically I've done plyometric type training in the past when I used to compete in like a train in jiu-jitsu and in judo,
mm-hmm.
I would throw it in here and there, but it was never something that I truly incorporated that was unique.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, you've got now three pretty advanced techniques that you can utilize as part of your training. You've got bands, chains, plyometrics.
Right.
Is there anything else, Justin, you can think of that might be, you know, something? I'm thinking supersets in my mind, and this is a little bit more bodybuilding-ish. But supersets can be utilized in really unique, effective ways. One of my favorite ways, we've talked about this before, but to use a superset is to increase the mind-to-muscle connection. Mm-hmm. Adam will like that. He loves that word.
Bring him back.
Mind-to-muscle connection. Of a muscle that you have a particularly tough time feeling during exercises.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'll use a really common example, okay? The lats. A lot of people, especially beginners and intermediates, just don't feel their lats when they do pull-ups, pull-downs, rows, or any other back exercise. They just don't. They just have trouble feeling their lats.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally can remember the very first time I got a pump in my lats. It was years after I started training.
Oh, same here.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was weird.
A while to connect. Yeah,
it was weird. It was like, oh shit, my lats. There they are.
Right.
So one way that I've done this with clients to help them get that connection to the lats is I'll do an isolation movement first, straight to a compound movement. Mm. So that's the superset. It's called a pre-exhaust superset. So an example, we'll stick with the back or the lats again, is I'll have them do either a dumbbell pullover or a straight arm pull down, get the lats fatigued, and they'll go straight to a pull down, a pull up, or a row, where now they're utilizing other muscles, but they can feel the lats are already fatigued. They can feel them contracting.
Now you use the pull over because you're also combining it with the triceps as part of that, and then that way you can kind of not fatigue the you know, the pairing of the bicep.
You can do it that way, or there's also very effective pullover machines at the gym where the pad is under your elbow and it almost takes out, it kind of de-emphasizes the triceps in that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not trying to use the biceps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with chest. If I want to get that mind to muscle connection to my chest, I would do a fly to
a bench press. I got
you. This is all in phase 3 of the MAPS program, by the way. This is what that's all the stuff that's in there. Now the side effect of this is the pump is ridiculous. It's stupid. You get such a silly pump.
Doing
this.
It's hard to move after that.
Here's another good one. Okay, here's the common one that I have people do is I'll have them do like a sissy squat or a leg extension straight to a squat to get their quads all pumped and crazy, but the mind-to-muscle connection that's missing for a lot of people is usually the hamstrings when they squat.
Uh-huh.
Very few people will feel the hamstrings. So what I'll have someone do sometimes is I'll have someone do a hamstring exercise, an isolation movement like a leg curl or a very, very light bridge on a physio ball or leg curl on a physio ball straight to a barbell squat. However, you got to be very careful to make sure you sit back because if the hamstrings get too fatigued, you start to move too far forward in your squat. And then all of a sudden, people are like, my hamstrings got pumped from doing squats, which is for a lot of people is rare. When they do squats, they don't get a pump in the hamstring.
I was going to say, because I would do something similar, but for the most part, a lot of people that I've trained with the squat too, they feel quads initially, like it's very like anterior. And so I try to do something similar to that, but more glute based. Right. So that way I can kind of focus the attention a little bit more in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Do an isolating glute exercise and then throw them over onto the squat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And of course, you got to make sure your form is like.
Which was a lot of times like a lateral two band or, you know, walk or something like that.
Bands are great, man.
Man, it just fires them up.
Bands are great. You know, that's one of the reasons. One of the reasons why I originally recommended people use bands for the trigger sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you that haven't are not familiar with the MAPS program, a trigger session is a very, very light muscle stimulating session. It lasts about 5 to 8 minutes that you might do several times a day on your off days. They're not intense. They're designed just to get the muscle.
You don't want to do it 100% to fatigue.
No. Right. It's super light. All you're trying to do is get a little pump, a little burn, but you're just sending the signal to the muscle and kind of boosting what happened the day before when you did your heavy workout. But the reason why I tell people to use bands, aside from the fact that they're convenient, is that bands don't damage muscle very much because of that variable resistance. So that's a benefit that they have. It's not a detriment. Now, if your whole workout is bands, you're not going to build much muscle. But if you add them to your regular routine, it will change things up, and it doesn't damage you that much. That's the best part. So one of the problems I have a lot of times with people with programs that throw lots of new techniques in is that you're limited by your body's ability to recover. So you can't just throw a bunch of shit at your program, be like, oh, I'm going to do plyometrics. I'm going to do heavy negatives. I'm going to do slow negatives. I'm going to do all these different things.
And then try and split it all up like you're hitting this opposite group, even though, you know, everything simultaneously is working together.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're screwed because your body
is overly fatigued.
Your body
everywhere.
can't repair in time.
Right.
But bands, because they don't really damage you, you can add them to a routine and you'll get more muscle stimulation than you will damage. And it's not much, but when you add it to your regular routine, it becomes like a turbo boost.
Right, yeah. It charges you going into, you know, in the next day.
Oh, I notice a big difference for when, you know, Doug, we talked about this so many times when we were first testing out some of these theories, you know, a few years ago. I mean, what do you notice when you don't do your trigger sessions?
Well, for one, I'm just not growing as fast.
It's wild, right?
Yeah. Bringing in the trigger sessions on those off days really does give you that extra boost.
Yeah. It's like, do you notice? And I noticed one of the first, also a fat burning effect from it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you don't burn many calories doing it. It's light. So the only theory I have is that you must be just really sending those signals to the body.
Anabolic, baby.
Well, one of the things we were doing before, we don't so much anymore, is call them anabolic triggering sessions.
That's actually the full name.
The full name is anabolic triggering sessions.
ATS.
And it's another way to get that anabolic signal to your body on those off days. So if you're anabolic more, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're going to burn more fat. You're going to build more muscle.
Yeah. Yeah, so bands are fantastic for that. By the way, MAPS is available at mindpumpradio.com. I just want to say that before I forgot. One other thing, Justin. Negatives. I just brought that up.
Right. Negatives. Eccentric training.
Heavy negatives. I have yet to find a way to be able to utilize this without workout partners. That's the only thing I can think about. That's the bad part about it. Right. But do you have any techniques or?
I mean, yeah, like you said, partners is a good idea.
Yeah,
you know, because you don't want to take on that, like, you're going to get yourself stuck, right? You don't want that. And I mean, as much as you want to do negatives with bands, it's kind of weird and counterproductive.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
In my opinion, I've seen guys try and do that and duplicate not having a workout partner with you. And, you know, there's some machines. Maybe you could get away with it. And I'm not a big, you know, proponent of machines at all. Like, I never.
I've seen one type of machine, and then I don't see them at any gyms I work out at anymore. So
yeah.
But basically, the muscles. There's three types of contractions. There's the shortening of the muscle. That's when you're flexing.
Right.
And then the lengthening when you're lowering the weight, and then of course when you hold a weight, you're much stronger lowering a weight than you are lifting it.
Which concentric, isometric, eccentric. Yeah, right. So those are.
And you can lower a lot more weight than you can lift, and you can take advantage of this by putting a really heavy load and just lowering the weight.
Right.
Now, by yourself, the only way I've ever been able to do this by myself, because what you would do with a partner is you would have them take weight. You would have them take weight. So what you would do is you take a heavy ass weight. Let's say I'm going to squat,
mm-hmm.
and let's say I have 300 and 25 pounds on. I'll lower down into the bottom of the squat, and then my workout partners would take the weight off, some weight off, and then I'll come up. Then they'll add the weight, and then I go down, and then they'll take weight off, and I come up. So you'll need two workout partners.
Yeah.
The only way I've ever been able to do this on my own is with heavy singles. And what I would do is I would unwrap, I'd set the safeties in a squat rack,
mm-hmm.
so that the bar, I can lower the bar down to the bottom and leave them on the safeties.
Oh, yeah, you got safeties. Yeah, that's a good idea.
So what I'll do is I'll walk out with a super ass heavy weight that mm-hmm. I know I can't lift, that I can't lift for one, but I know I can lower.
Yeah.
And I'll back out of the cage. And then I'll go down really slow and controlled with this heavy ass weight until I hit the safeties, and then I'll leave with the safeties there, and then I'll kind of crawl out.
Yeah, you know,
that's the only way I've been able to use the same thing with a bench press.
Yeah, you know what else I was thinking? Like, I mean, there's ways that if I'm doing a power move and I need to work on specific elements of it, right? So I want to break down this lift into multiple items, right? So for instance, if I'm doing a power clean, like, one of the first things I want to focus on is, you know, my angles, like, and how I'm pulling it off the ground properly. And then the next thing is the pulling part of it. So I'm trying to get this, like, really quick response that I'm driving my feet into the ground and then pulling. And so we call this, like, the high pull. So mm-hmm. I'm pulling it up high up towards my chin. And that's that initial bit you need to really focus on, pounding and pulling as quickly as possible.
Pounding and pulling.
Yeah, man. It sounds like a gangbang.
God.
Right? Am I right?
Damn.
You
must have gone on Doug's history on his computer. So
but yeah, so then you get into, like, you know, the catch, and what is the catch, and, like, you know, how can I break that down? Yeah. And, you know, and, like,
you know,
front loaded squats.
I am so glad you're bringing this up, because people who lift weights to look a certain way, physique, bodybuilder, or presentation,
they would
type
never
athlete,
even have thought of this
no,
in their life.
They break down workouts based on how they look.
Yeah.
Athletes and performance based individuals break down lifts. They break down lifts into components and segments the same way a bodybuilder would break down the body into body parts. Let me tell you why that would benefit both. Let me break down why that would benefit, why each side would benefit each other. Okay, if you're an athlete, a lifting athlete, and you're breaking down your lifts, but you're not focusing on perhaps how you look in terms of muscle development, there might be something to be gained by saying, you know what, it's weird, I'm doing all this bench press, but I notice my upper chest is really undeveloped. Even though my bench press is strong, I'm going to try developing my upper chest and see what happens, and they might get some more strength out of it. On the flip side, the physique presentation athlete, or someone who's just focused on how they look, let me tell you something. When you perfect those big gross motor movements, when you perfect a squat and you break it down, and I'm weakest at the bottom, so I'm going to find a way to get stronger at the bottom by pausing at the bottom, or by using a band, or by doing a heavy negative or whatever, you're going to build more muscle. Your body's going to build more muscle. So it behooves you. I love that word.
Yeah.
Behoove.
Behoove you.
It behooves you to break down your workout, not just in body parts and how you look, but break down your lifts, break those lifts down, master them, train certain lifts, not all of them. You know, if you're not an athlete, a competitor in terms of performance, don't do this on everything, but pick your big lifts like your bench, your deadlift, your squat, your overhead press. Break those down. Break them down into segments. Find out your weaknesses. Get stronger in those weaknesses, and you know, in the portion of the lift, or your lockout at the bottom, your stability, your grip, whatever.
Well, yeah. Now you just brought up another one.
Maximize those and watch the muscle you build from it.
Yeah.
What did I bring up?
Oh, you brought up stability. Yeah. This is something else we don't ever talk about here because you know that's
What is stability? Explain that because
stability. It's just a way to overcome. You know, an unstable, unbalanced environment. So whether it's, you know, from me standing on one leg or standing on an uneven surface or having like other forces that you have to account for. So why is that important in terms of athletics? Because guess what? People are going to try and push you over.
Yeah, nothing's linear.
Nothing is linear. Absolutely not. It's so much more complex.
Would it be safe to say, Justin, that stability, just to get down to the basic, would be like being able to balance a weight above my head? Just hold it up there and balance it.
Absolutely.
Is that a form of stability?
Yeah.
Okay. So it could totally benefit everybody, not just...
Yeah, well, that's why we're bigger fans of free weights, right?
Yeah.
Because you're still training your body to account for these gravitational forces and these... ways of controlling and manipulating and using the weights, you know, and being able to keep form and keep your body in supported. So really it's about supporting your body in movement.
Mm.
Okay. That's what stability is.
So, for those of you who think we're advocating doing squats on a physio ball with all that.
Listening.
Yeah. That's going too far.
Yeah.
But I'll give you, you know, I've seen lots of people who can, you know, bench press a heavy weight, but the weight is all over the place.
Right.
And they should lighten the load and focus on being able to do the weight in a stable way.
Yeah.
Because you're going to build more muscle doing it that way than you are just, you know, all over the place. Actually, when I train young athletes, this is such an issue. Like they'll lift a super lightweight that they can lift, but their arm is freaking all over the place, and they, mm-hmm. you know, looks like they have.
Yeah, they need that. Well, yeah, they need that weight to sort of weigh them down and keep them in check too. Yeah. A lot of times, yeah.
No, those are all important components. So, that's it, man. I'm glad we covered some of this stuff.
Yeah, I feel so vindicated.
Justin talked a lot.
Guess what, guys?
He knows a lot of shit.
Yeah, I know stuff, and it's not just all about biceps and fucking abs and, hey, look at my quads. It's like,
hey, dude.
Hey, let's use our muscles now.
Hey, dude, you got big-ass quads, bro.
Yeah,
I want you to post a picture of those fucking gams that you got there.
I'll let my turtle, you know, out of its...
Yeah. Your legs, bro.
Listen.
Just your legs.
I'm going to start peeing like that, though.
Oh, out the bottom of the... So gangster.
Got to feed them.
So listen, if you're... please, if you like our show, subscribe to it. And don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. It helps us move up in the rankings so that we could beat people like the Bulletproof Executive and Jillian Michaels.
In any CrossFit podcast ever, we're beating it.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.